Translation and Purport, Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. As the darkness of snow on a dark night and the light of a glowworm in the light of day have no value, the mystic power of an inferior person who tries to use it against a person of a great power is unable to accomplish anything. Instead, the power of that inferior person is diminished. Purport. When one wants to supersede a superior power, one's own inferior power becomes ludicrous. Just as a glowworm in the daytime and snow at night have no value, Brahma's mystic power became worthless in the presence of Krishna. For greater mystic power condemns inferior mystic power. On a dark night, the darkness produced by snow has no meaning. The glowworm appears very important at night, but in the daytime, its glow has no value. Whatever little value it has is lost. Similarly, Brahma became insignificant in the presence of Krishna's mystic power. Krishna's Maya was not diminished in value, but Brahma's Maya was condemned. Therefore, one should not try to exhibit one's insignificant opulence before a greater power. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Agyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamala Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunata Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopeshwar Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshware Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Vachitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I would like to ask blessings of everyone, especially senior devotees assembled here, disciples of Srila Prabhupada's grace, Tattvavid Prabhu, and everyone who is watching online. Just last week, we've been traveling, and we went to Ireland for almost 2 weeks. We've been traveling around Ireland. We spent couple of days in a Dublin temple. Anyone has been in Dublin temple before? Yeah, couple of devotees, yeah. It's actually not like a big temple. It's more a preaching center. There's Govinda's restaurant there in the central Dublin and a preaching center on the third floor. So they regularly do programs there. Dublin is a very big city, but unfortunately they don't have at the moment regular worship and deities installed. But still, they do very well. Govinda's always have a lot of visitors, a lot of customers, and people are come sometimes. There's a big queue there. People take prasadam very happily. We also get the opportunity to try some prasadam in this Govinda's. It's really delicious, and devotees there cook with love. And this is a great preaching they're doing in Dublin. So we were doing book distribution in Dublin. And I had a very interesting experience in a few days in book distribution. So one of the days when we went out, I had a really nice day. So we were distributing books, and a lot of books came out. People in Dublin were friendly. I thought, wow, these Irish people are very nice. They have a lot of money. They give nice donations. They take books. And also I thought maybe I'm also quite good at book distribution. Maybe it's because of my good skill, I'm able to distribute a lot of books there. So that was the first day. And when we came back after book distribution, we've been giving our scores to our Sankirtan leader. So when I compared my scores to others, I thought, wow, I'm really doing well in book distribution. So, and then maybe some little pride came into my heart, maybe just a little bit. So the next day we went out and it was raining. So it was very actually difficult to distribute books. I was trying to stop people. No one was stopping. I was trying my best. And in the middle of the day, I lost enthusiasm. I realized I cannot do much on my own. And I was trying. And in the end of the day, when we came back, I looked at my scores and scores of others, and my score was much lower than others. So I thought, okay, Krishna is most probably teaching me something. So on the third day when we went out, I haven't even thought, okay, now I'm very skillful, I'm very good, I'll distribute a lot of books today, and then in the end of the day, I'll again see how good I am. So in this way, Krishna can teach us humility sometimes, especially we can see it in a book distribution. When we go out on books, as soon as some small pride come in our heart, and we start feel we're the doer, we can achieve much. It's the us who distribute books, and with our great skills we can do much. Krishna will do something, it's definitely. I'm speaking on this point because here in purport it is said, similarly, Brahma became insignificant in the presence of Krishna's mystic power. Krishna's maya was not diminished in value, but Brahma's maya was condemned. Therefore, one should not try to exhibit one's insignificant opulence before great power. So today I want to speak a little bit about humility. Just a few points I want to tell. It's a very interesting topic, and I think something that we should discuss more often. As every day we chant this verse, Trinadapi Sunichina, Tarorapi Sahishnana, Amanya Nambanadana, Kirtanya Sadahari. We chant this verse every day before chanting. But I was reflecting on my devotional service, my life, how deeply I'm thinking what actually this means to be humble. I approached a senior devotee when I was about to prepare class, and I was asking, what should I speak on this purport? Because when I read the purport, I couldn't get any points what can I speak. And I was told that humility is a good topic. So I want to approach this topic from a little bit different point of view. The devotees usually speak that being humble means to avoid pride, or being humble means just do any service that you've been giving. I want to go from a little bit different direction, and I hope this will provoke some thoughts what actually means humble. I just want to make a couple of statements, and I will just give you a couple of seconds to reflect on them, and maybe in the end of the class you'll have some ideas. So first statement is, being humble means that we see where our weakness is. Being humble means to realize that at the moment we're not doing much about this. Being humble means to realize that it is possible to overcome our weakness, and there are people who already did it. And being humble means to make a decision to get rid of our weakness and to make an action. So the point that I want to make here, that actually being humble and humility should be empowering. So sometimes we can observe devotees coming to devotional service to the temple, and they have some difficulties in their, they have a bad habits. They have some type of thinking that is limiting them in performing to the maximum of their capacity. And if you won't mind, we can look at some of the examples of the limitations that we can have in our heart that are stopping us from performing a devotional service to the 100% of what we can actually achieve. We can look at a few examples, and we can look at a few examples how we can solve these problems in ourselves, if you won't mind. But first of all, I want to give example from mundane life. I want to give example that is seemingly is not connected to devotional service. Even before I came to Krishna consciousness, when I was quite small, I developed a bad habit because of bad association. I started to smoke. So I think many of us, or some of us, had this habit before. We used to smoke before we came to devotional service. And I haven't even thought of stopping smoking, because I thought, it's okay, everyone is smoking around, and I'm in this kind of environment. And anyway, it's so difficult to stop smoking. I heard so many times that if you start smoking, you won't be able to give this bad habit up. So, one day, my friend came to me and said, do you want to stop smoking? And I said to him, no, not really. I'm happy like this. But inside I was thinking, actually I think it would be a good thing, because it harms me, I spend a lot of money on this habit smoking. So inside I thought this. So later I said to him, okay, do you have some ideas how to do it? And he said, yes, I have some ideas. So he told me, there is a book, How to Stop Smoking. So you want to read it? And again, in the mind, I start thinking, no, there's just a book, I will read it and I will stop smoking. This is completely impossible. It just doesn't sound logical. There's millions of people, like tens, hundreds of millions around the world who are actually smoking. And if there's a book which will help you to stop smoking, then why these people are still smoking? So I thought, no, I don't want to do this. And then he said, okay, I will read this book, How to Stop Smoking. I will stop smoking. Then will you actually stop smoking? I thought for a second. Okay, this might sound like a plan. Okay, you try first, and if you stop smoking, then I'll try to follow your example. So what happened? He read this book. He stopped smoking. After 2 weeks, he met me and asked him, okay, did you stop smoking? He said, yes, I did it. I said, okay, also inside me, it was something like a pride. I gave my promise that I'll do it. Then now I should read the book and I should try. So what happened in the beginning? I developed some kind of faith that it is actually possible, and I saw with my own eyes example, someone did it before. And I thought, okay, I made decision, I will read this book. And I decided to make an action. So I actually took the book and I started to read it. And it's quite interesting how this book works like. Maybe some of you heard this famous author, Alan Carr. It's not something very special about his books, how it is compiled. There are just facts about smoking that are repeated again and again and again. And what's also interesting about this book, when you read this book, in the very beginning, the author is telling, when you read this book, you should carry on smoking. You shouldn't stop. You shouldn't like put away cigarettes and use your willpower. You should carry on, and till in the end of the book, only then you can stop. And so the process works like this. You smoke cigarette, at the same time you read the book about how it is bad, how you get a bad taste in your mouth, how your lungs are filled with the smoke, and you do it day after day after day, and your brain is filled with bad impressions about this habit. So it's a little bit psychology trick. And so, what happened in the end? I was able to overcome this bad habit. So, what I drew from this, I was reflecting on this when I was preparing the class. There are a couple of points that we can keep in mind, even from this mundane example. First of all, we should have some faith that we are able to get rid of some of our bad qualities, our bad behavior that's stopping us from performing devotional service, we should first get this initial faith. Because sometimes what we hear is, you just chant 16 rounds, you just read books of Srila Prabhupada, you just perform devotional service, and then automatically all the bad habits will go away, automatically become purified, automatically you can do so many things, you'll come to the platform of goodness. Sometimes we can hear these misconceptions. I believe this is misconception, can be. Obviously, devotional service is very powerful, and through process of chanting, our heart is purified. Through the studying of books, our intelligence is being purified. Definitely. But also, we need to consciously work on some of our behavior or some of our patterns of thinking. In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where it's mentioned divine and demoniac natures, there's list of 26 divine qualities of devotee. And Srila Prabhupada in purport is saying, we should actually conscientiously work on to develop these qualities. But when we hear this, sometimes we might think, how I can become free of pride, how we can become tolerant. Sometimes we don't even see examples with our own eyes of devotees around us who actually have these divine qualities. So we don't have enough faith to start this process of developing these qualities. So what is there a solution? And I'll come to this point a little bit later if there's some solution. For now, I just want to ask you, because we don't have much time, one example that you might have, or some of people devotees around you might have, common disbelief, strong-rooted disbelief about yourself that is stopping you from performing devotional service. If you have something in your mind, if something is really stops you, maybe there are a few examples. You can raise your hand and tell what can be a common misbelief in association of devotees. Maybe I'll tell this a little bit different way. So sometimes we can have some bad way of thinking that stops us from performing devotional service to the maximum of our capacity. For example, we might think, I'm not good in speaking with people, that's why I will never be able to be a good book distributor. So this is one misconception. I'm not good in association with others, and that's why some devotee is never going out to book distribution, when actually, if he will try to go out, he'll be very successful, and we can see this. So
I have the opposite of what you said. So sometimes when I'm trying to perform devotional service, because I like, me personally, I like to be good at what I do, I like to enjoy what I do, and I can really enjoy what it is I'm doing if I'm good at it. So sometimes I do have the passing thought of, I'm doing better, whatever it is I'm doing, than the person who's next to me. So I'm doing is better than this person. I'm singing louder, or dancing more expressively. And sometimes that's obviously a drive thing that massively gets in the way of true devotion service. But then you're doing it for your own ego, and not for the joy and the Krishna. But that's always sort of a clutching moment in my mind, because I do want to do it right, regardless of whether it's university or a job.
Yeah, so what you're saying that this is like another side. So we're like trying to find a balance. One side, someone thinks I'm not capable of doing something. So this is wrong belief that we have. Or another side, one thinks I can do everything. And at some point I can think I'm better than others. So actually, that's a very good point. And something in the middle is, I'm capable of doing this, and I definitely can overcome my weakness, and I can achieve something that I have in my mind day after day after day. I want to achieve some goal or to overcome some bad habit. I can do it, but finding a balance is I can do it with the mercy of devotees around us, with the mercy of Krishna, with the mercy of Guru, and I shouldn't become pride when I achieve this. So this is just a couple of points, couple of reflections, that being humble means to find what's the biggest obstacle in our life that stops us from serving Srila Prabhupada, to spread this mission, to find a way to get rid of this obstacle, and it definitely is possible to find a solution how to do it in the cessation of devotees, in the cessation of Shastra, and to do something about it. There are many points I wanted to make, but we have a little bit short time, so I just want to conclude on this point, that when Srila Prabhupada started this movement, he was in New York. And what Srila Prabhupada did, he had a clear vision in his mind. When someone approached Srila Prabhupada on the street and asked, "What are you doing this time? Do you have any followers? Do you have any temples?" Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, I have thousands of followers. I have so many temples around the world." And Krishna consciousness is just spreading. But at this time, there is no temples, there's hardly any followers. So what lesson we can draw from this answer of Srila Prabhupada? That actually, he had a clear vision what he wants to achieve, and he had a very positive thinking of what is possible to achieve. So he saw there are temples already there, devotees already there. And what needs to be done is just constant work. But he was also humble, and he realized it depends on mercy of his spiritual master and mercy of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was acting day after day after day, having a vision in front of his eyes, having a firm faith that it is possible to achieve what he wants to achieve because Krishna is there and he wants to do it. But he, at the same time, he was humble and realized, I am not the doer, Krishna is the doer. In the beginning of the movement, I was here in class of Mahatma Prabhu. There was 20 devotees there. Srila Prabhupada just started the movement, and 20 devotees. Because of vision of Srila Prabhupada, after some time, after 10 years, there was 108 temples, there's tens of thousands of devotees. And I would like to give one more provoking thought. So there was 20 devotees with a very clear vision what they want to achieve, given them by Srila Prabhupada. If we take this temple room, it's maybe about 50, 60 people, 70 people. So if you will think, will it be able for these 60 people who definitely got more experience than these 20 devotees in the beginning of the movement for 10 years to open 108 temples? If it is not possible, what is wrong? What should be changed? So this is just a provoking thought in the end. And because today is a very auspicious day of appearance of Srila Rupa Goswami, I would like to say a few words. Actually, I would like to read, because there are some facts that I was not able to remember. So when Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were born, their name was Amara and Santosh. They were given names by their parents. And they had three other brothers and one sister. It is said that three of the children of the parents were pure devotees. So this was Rupa, Sanatana, and their brother. The name of the brother was Anupama. Names Rupa and Sanatana were given to them later by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the time Rupa and Sanatana met Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami had already written several books on Vedic philosophy, including his already famous Hamsa Dutta. And Sanatana Goswami used to regularly recite Srimad Bhagavatam with tears of ecstasy for all who would listen. So this was even before two brothers met Lord Chaitanya. And after some time, Nawab Hussein Shah treated them with physical expulsion as well as the murder of pious devotees, because he wanted to make them servants of servants of the government. So Rupa and Goswami were concerned about the Nawab's threat of causing harm to society of Vaishnavas, and consequently they were forced to accept service under Hussein Shah. Once, when Lord Chaitanya decided to go to Vrindavan in 1514, he stopped at Ramakeli specifically to meet Dabir Kas and Sakara Malik. By this time, he was accompanied by thousands of followers who were all chanting and dancing with him. Hearing that he had arrived, the two brothers made plans to see him. Being Muslim officials, they decided to go in the dead of night in order to remain unnoticed. So as we know, there was a pastime when Rupa and Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya in a very humble way. And Lord Chaitanya gave them his mercy. He put his hands on their heads. And he was very much pleased by their humility. And he gave them a blessing. And after some time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, and Rupa Goswami and his younger brother Vallabha, who Lord Chaitanya named Anupama, were able to follow him. But Sanatan Goswami wasn't able to follow Lord Chaitanya because he was forced to stay under the Nawab's government. Srila Rupa Goswami, they traveled to Prayag, and there they met Lord Chaitanya. So in Prayag, which at present day is Allahabad, Lord Chaitanya was instructing Rupa Goswami and his younger brother Anupam for 10 days regarding Krishna Tattva and Bhakti Tattva and Rasa Tattva. At this time, Rupa Goswami and his younger brother recited a beautiful prayer. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tvishe Namaha. So this beautiful prayer we recite regularly when we offer prasadam to Krishna. And I used to meditate on this prayer in a way that when we offer prasadam to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful when he tries this prasadam, and we distribute this prasadam, everyone who tries it gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he got the opportunity to get some love of Krishna in his heart because of mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And just to conclude, after 10 days of discussion after association with Lord Chaitanya, first meeting, Rupa Goswami, after this, compiled Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, very important book. Then Rupa Goswami, after some time, he went to Vrindavan. He established temple of Govindadev, which later, unfortunately, was destroyed. But still, some part of it remains. And Rupa Goswami compiled many huge volumes of books, of which 16 are considered most important. Rupa Goswami in all wrote at least 100,000 verses, and the most famous books are Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjvala Nilamani, Upadeshamrita, which is known as Nectar of Instruction, as we know it, Dana Keli Kamuti, and Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maybe some corrections, if anyone have or something to add.